It's a thrill for me to talk to you today, you folks all over the nation, on one of the most exciting things recorded in the Bible, the second coming of Jesus Christ. What a thrill it is to know that at any moment, in a twinkle of an eye, not a wink of the eye, but a twinkle of the eye, Jesus Christ will come again to this earth. I tell you, that's a blessed truth. It may be today, it may be this hour, it may be before I finish this message, that Jesus, the blessed Son of God, will return. Now, we deny the perverted idea that some have that Christ has already come the second time. We deny, too, the teaching of some that we are already in the tribulation period. That's not so. We deny, too, the view that in every way the world is getting better and better. Well, all you need do is look around you, and you see that isn't true today. We believe the 1,000 years referred to in Revelation 20 mean exactly that, 1,000 years. We are looking for the uppertaker, not for the undertaker. Now, let me outline to you, will you please? Are you listening there? Just give me a few moments of your time, I know, precious, but turn the radio up a little bit louder there, and let me go over some of the things that the Bible says is going to take place. Now, you believe the Bible, don't you? All right. Then in the Bible, we have God's plan for the ages. The Bible prophesied 1,000 years before Jesus came how he was to come, and it was fulfilled exactly in detail as stated. He did come, and when he was here, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And in John 14:3, the historian recorded, and if I go to prepare a place for you, Jesus said, I will come again. Not I may, not I hope to, but I will come again. He said he would come again. Now, he said that with all the power behind him. Now, there's no record that he has come again in all the annals of history. In other words, that great event, his coming again, is still far distant. It is to be. It's in the future. Not has been, but off in the future. Even after his crucifixion, after his resurrection, before his ascension, the angel said to all those gathered around him, hundreds saw him, and they said in Acts 1:11, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. This is factual. This isn't mythical. Jesus Christ is to come down out of the heavens as suddenly as he went away. It's in the Bible. It's there as plain as day. Now, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And what is the gospel? The story of Jesus dying for sinful man. The price for sins was paid to get men and women to heaven. And he says, as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he the right, or the full power, or the full authority, to become a child of God. And when you are a sinner, you accept someone bigger, something better than yourself to save you. You trust him. Now, you, to be saved, if you're to be ready for his second coming, you must receive him as your sin-bearer. Then you become part of the true body, the true church. That's how you do it. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2:7 says, he that now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. In other words, at the coming of Christ, the Spirit of God, the restraining influence against sin will be withdrawn. Men, things will be in a mess. You think things are bad now? Well, you wait. God pity the man or woman that's left in this old earth after Jesus comes. If you do go to heaven, my friend, after that time, it'll only be because you forfeited your life during the awful tribulation period, claiming that I now believe. You'll pay with your life. His coming is to be sudden. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, I read, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he will come. Jesus said it would be as a thief in the night. In 1 Thessalonians 4:15 and 16, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Then that suddenly we, the bride, those really born again, not just church members, those that really sincerely trust and live for the Son of God will be swept off their feet away into glory. Tell me, friend, you there by the radio, will you be ready? Tell me now, have you been ashamed of him this past week? Have you yet confessed him as your very own Savior publicly before men and women? You're the sinner, he's the Savior. That's what counts. He knoweth them that are his. Then we'll set in after that the period of tribulation, 3.5 or 7 years. Matthew 24:21, Jesus said, and I quote, then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. You talk about the terror of the last war. You talk about the suffering and the famine in Europe. You won't be able to buy or sell, my friend, unless you have the stamp, the number 666, on everything bought or sold. Talk about NRA days. They'll be back, only worse. Then we'll set in Revelation. or actual return in power of Jesus to stamp his enemies underfoot. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 and 9 says, "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven," the revelation, "revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then he will subdue every king and dictator. Then there'll be no more wars, and only then. Then there'll be peace, and we shall reign with him. What a thrill. We're meek now. We take it now. You can blaspheme his name now. You can say all you want about us and, of course, not get hit back in the jaw. But I want to tell you, my friend, he'll be up at bat that day. Then Satan will be loosed after that, after the Lord takes his vengeance on those who trampled him underfoot. Then Satan will be loosed for a season, and then eternity will begin. And it lasts for a long time. My prayer, dear friend, is that you might have Jesus Christ now as your Savior, so that then he will not be your judge, but be your Savior. This week, some Germans were being tried for the murderous acts during the war. Some 500 of our American lads had been placed in an open field, captured and placed in this field, and mowed down with machine gun fire. One lad, when he saw what was happening, dove into the mud and buried himself in the mud as the machine guns opened up. And he lay there for hours and hours. And finally, a Belgian girl came and helped him escape, and one of the few that got out of that terrible massacre. This week, that same lad viewed 24 German officers in court. And he walked over and pointed his finger at the officer that had ordered the massacre. And he said, "There's the man. There's the man that fired the first shot." And the day will come, my friend, when the finger of God will point at you and say, "You heard that young preacher tell you that you needed Jesus as your Savior. You knew as you listened there, but you turned away. Now I say unto you," Jesus will say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Then you'll be cast out. Then you'll wish you'd turned to the Son of God. Then you'll wish you'd left off your sins and trusted Jesus. That's what I want you to do today and get ready for his coming. Will you do it? I hope you will.